Welcome everyone to our final seminar of the quarter in the PPS Success Mentor teleclass series. For those of you joining us for the first time, my name is James Phelps, and in addition to being your host for tonight's call, I'm the PPS Success Educational Coordinator. Tonight we have with us PPS Success Mentor Dr. Brian Allman, who will be leading us through personal transformation how-tos. Now, for those of you that don't know Dr. Allman, he's been a friend and mentor to Paul for many years now. But beyond that, he's a world-renowned medical weight loss expert and the author of the best-selling book, Keep It Off. Dr. Allman studied at Suffolk University in Boston and then went on to earn his clinical psychology PhD at the California School of Professional Psychology in San Diego. That clinical degree is complemented by his master's study in the mind-body field from all over the world, including studies with Dr. Milton Erickson, the definer of mind-body healing and medicine. Currently, Dr. Allman is working with the world's largest healthcare organization, Kaiser Permanente, which utilizes his Keep It Off program as part of their strategy to bring proven weight loss solutions to healthcare providers around the world. In addition to his private practice in Southern California, which he started in 1979, Dr. Allman founded TrueSage.com in 1999, a website devoted to a multifaceted program helping individuals directly with a broad range of personal fulfillment needs. And TrueSage has really flowered into a powerful program. It's my understanding that Dr. Allman will be hosting a special seminar this April 3rd to 5th entitled Change Your Mind and Change Your Life, with the Chopra Center in Carlsbad, California. In addition to TrueSage, Dr. Allman has also created selfhypnosis.com, a website devoted to sharing his approaches to self-hypnosis, including visualization, meditation, relaxation, guided imagery, and mind-body healing. So, gosh, with all of that experience, training, and diversity of approaches, I think this is going to be a pretty special teleclass tonight. Now, before we begin, I just want to remind everybody that's with us that we do record these calls. So if you happen to be in a high-traffic area or you're on a cell phone that might pick up some echo effects, I recommend that you mute your line until you have a question by pressing *6. Then if you want to join in the conversation at the end, you can unmute your phone at any time by pressing any button on your phone pad. So with those details out of the way, welcome Dr. Allman. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, James. My pleasure. When I hear you introduce me, all I can tell you is that all of the best answers that I see happening for people on a regular basis come from inside themselves. So what I've learned in 30 years of helping people help themselves is that 100% of the time, people come up with their own best answers. It's just a matter of figuring out the personal how-tos. What are those transformational techniques? So the credit belongs to the person. I get to facilitate that. Yeah, so true. I'm leaving an all-day beach session right now. My private practice is all day at the beach sessions for 1, 2, 3 days. So people
Wonderful.
People fly in, and that's how I work with people one-on-one. All day, intense, deep, all the way kinds of inner work, and basically dozens of how-tos. At a deep level, of course, the ocean, the beach is a great place to do it because it's like instant meditation there, right? Yeah. So I get to be impressed with people's inner abilities all the time.
Oh, it sounds like a wonderful wonderful way to live your life, like a fantastic legacy.
Well, it's watching people succeed in ways that they've been trying to do for decades, and it's a pleasure to be part of that. It's just nice to be able to be in the same place with that happening. It's amazing how hard people try and then aren't able to succeed. Because a lot of times with the how-tos, people that are very smart try to use their mind to resolve everything. And that's fine. You just don't want to get stuck there. People that are really emotional want to emotionally resolve everything. And that's fine. They're right also. But you wouldn't want to get stuck there. Typically, inside of people, the emotional and the thinking are a tug of war, kind of a battle for control. Neither one of them trust each other, needless to say. So that learning the how-tos to make that happen kind of opens up a lot of energy that you were using to cope and to survive is now available to you for creative, intuitive, relaxing, smart, you know, whatever you're, whatever you're most interested in, you're free to do that. You're not bogged down by using up all your energy just to cope.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things. Think of the emotions in your thoughts as like two sides of a drawbridge, and you really need to connect the two, but instead they're at kind of battle with one another. And it's difficult for a lot of people to resolve that, realizing neither one of them are getting rid of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole other level of consciousness, kind of that mind-body state consciousness,
mm-hmm.
That opens up even more potential.
Mm-hmm.
The fun thing about the how-tos is that the same techniques that work to help you let go of the past
mm-hmm.
are the same techniques that will help you in your present future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's killing two birds with one stone is not a very positive metaphor, you know. So I'm sure there's a better one. But the same
yeah.
techniques you're learning to let go of the past will work present future. So it's like double work, you know, double benefit for half the work or something.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So, James, let me pass it over to you. And what do you think would be the most interesting kinds of questions for our listeners, or do you have any questions that you'd like to ask?
Well, I think this is really fascinating, talking about the topic you began with, which is this idea that people who come from generally an emotional place tend to really stay in that emotional place, and people who start from a very logical, science-minded kind of place tend to stay in that place, and that kind of limits in certain ways. And I find that very fascinating and very much true to, for example, myself. I came from a very science-logical background, and so I know that in my life, that is a perspective that's really that I had really been frozen in. And so working through that, trying to work so that I can adopt a different perspective and step out of that logical mode has been a real challenge. And so I think that would be very valuable sort of topic to explore. How do you bridge that kind of gap? That would be very fascinating to hear about.
Right. Well, and it's a very good question, James, because it's right on point with how do you really change?
Mm.
How do you really change your mind and change your life? Not how do you talk about it or think about it smarter, and
yeah.
not to understand where it comes from and why you're like that, but to
yeah.
actually make real change. And the answer is always the same. When in doubt, go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So any emotion that you have, let's say that you're stuck in your thoughts, and you know you're stuck in your thoughts, which I think what you were getting to.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
You're kind of stuck in that, you know, in the think, kind of, a lot of times that overthinking mindset is also judgmental and critical.
Yes.
And not just of yourself, but of others and
mm-hmm.
things. And so that overthinking is really a brilliant part of you. And it actually is kind of wasting a lot of energy trying to keep your emotions away and keep them at bay.
Mm-hmm.
And so your thoughtfulness and your overthinking and your kind of wanting to control things has to be given an even bigger job, and really allow that part of you to express itself strongly about what it's thinking, about what's going on with the emotional side of you, what's going on with your life, what's wrong. Go ahead and get it out. And it's kind of a spilling it out, almost like paint cans onto a canvas, 100 rocks at the ocean, whether you can just visualize it or imagine it or do it. Find a way to really allow yourself to express that whole, I'm so mad, or I'm just thinking about this too much, and why am I stuck in my thoughts? And go overboard with it.
Mm-hmm.
And what will happen when you keep going with it and keep going deeper with it, exaggerating it, even making a fool out of yourself kind of thing, like somersaults at the beach kind of stuff, if you wouldn't break your back doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But really find ways to release all that, kind of overthink, go overboard with it. And when you go deep into it, which means you're accepting it and you're really expressing it, this is undamming the river kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
you automatically end up in your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You automatically end up in a more sensitive, compassionate place because you've just been there for yourself and you've gone deep and you've really given yourself permission. And you felt safe and you didn't die and you didn't cry your way out of it and everything was just right.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll take you to your emotion. And then what you do, if you've given yourself this time, 15 minutes, half an hour, two, whatever you need, in a place you feel real comfortable and all that, then you go back to overthinking.
Mm-hmm.
All the way back over. Mm-hmm. And even more than you were before.
Mm-hmm.
And you push hard. And you really, now you know, you can even stress yourself out even more about it. And you go all the way with that. And you have some way of expressing it. Breathing, dancing, jumping, throwing rocks at the beach, painting, sitting there, rolling around, having space, doing whatever feels comfortable is a way of letting go. Eyes closed is probably even better if that's even possible. But just really it's about letting go of what's going on in the inside. And then you go, after you really let it all, it's just gone. Now you start to realize there's an end to it. You thought, you overthought, there kind of is an end to it. And then you get your emotions again. Go back and forth 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is only an hour, maybe 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It goes by super fast.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, in that one day, you have bridged a relationship between your thoughts and your feelings. They work together. You've gone back and forth so much that all of the lines are blurred. Now you don't even know if you're thinking or feeling. Because you've gone back and forth so much. It's like a new balance. It's like a big shake-up. It's like a changing of the Mason-Dixon line so you can't even find it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beginning of what needs to happen long-term, is a dialogue, an open conversation between the emotional and the intellectual, or the intelligence with the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens as a result of that, you with me so far?
Yeah, definitely. That's
with
fascinating.
Me? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you literally do this, and you do that part in your own way, and you allow yourself, I would say, as much time as you feel you can give yourself, probably a couple hours would be great if you can manage your morning or an evening. If you can do it outdoors somewhere, bring a journal, and make a big deal about it, because you can change your whole life in one day. It is possible. All you have to do is find the right buttons. And that's what you're working on when you do this, is you're looking for the right button. You know how those things are. There's a
mm-hmm.
defining moment in your life where everything changed.
Yeah.
Things just really were very different after that. And you don't even know when those defining moments are going to happen, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
So in this sense, you're freeing yourself up of a, maybe a defining moment that might not happen for 3, 5, 7 years. You're freeing yourself up so it could happen in 3, 5, 7 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And never underestimate the power of the intuition or the unconscious mind. It's capable of doing much more than anything you're imagining right now and thinking, no, it wouldn't work for me. That's really not going to happen. I have too many issues, too many problems. That's too simple. That won't really work. So you know you have that part of you. And your unconscious mind, your intuition, can handle much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing. That's, you know, everybody has this self-doubting, self-critical part of us, and this is the next step that you take after doing everything you've done so far, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That was Dr. Milton Erickson, my teacher. That was that's a customization, which, of course, he would love, of his favorite technique, his favorite self-hypnosis technique.
Mm-hmm.
Called the entrance-exit technique.
Mm-hmm.
Works incredible for pain. And exactly for what we just did, unbelievably powerful emotionally, because that bridge, once you connect that drawbridge, and you can do this all at once. It just makes so much sense. And it just feels so natural. It's like undamming a river. Doesn't feel bad at all. It feels really good. So the next step after that is to really allow yourself to be judgmental and critical of yourself. I mean, all of us have this incredibly judgmental side of us, either from our parents or our teachers or just what's going on in the world now, but just the way we're raised. Everybody's had at least one parent that focused on what was wrong with life or you or themselves or the family or something. Somebody's stuck in that critic place. Everybody has a strong side of them. Plus, being negative is so easy. You know, it's just so easy to get negative and get caught up in negativity. You know, you can have 10 great things happen in one day and one thing goes bad and you just totally bum the whole day. You know, so that negative side of us really needs to be part of any healing or any transformation, because if you don't, it'll come back and sabotage everything anyway. Mm-hmm. So you really have to pay attention to that extra negative thing that all of us carry around.
Mm-hmm.
And call it whatever you want, over-controller, over-analyzer, perfectionist, feels inadequate, never satisfied, you know, that whole either parent-trained self and then we've perpetuated it, but just it's hard to get away from it. So I always encourage people, whenever they make some kind of movement, they have that kind of conversation, that entrance exit, to always move after that to really being judgmental of it. And people don't really want to do it, and they just don't want to go there. However, if they don't go there, it'll come back in a matter of minutes or hours, because that part of us that's skeptical seems to get involved in everything. So that's another opportunity that seems like a wall, but it's actually a bridge, that you really have to over-exaggerate that also.
Mm-hmm.
Really be super critical and just really judgmental. You know, be your parents times 10, be yourself times 10, be, you know, just be really releasing. This would be another opportunity where you throw 100 rocks at the ocean, you'd go paint on a canvas, you'd go, you know, jog around the park, you'd go move with this energy, you might dance, you might sit still, you might just roll around, just, you know, throw a pillow, do what needs to be done, because this is a big opportunity, and eyes closed is always good if you can,
mm-hmm.
and really let it all out, let it be said. You know, people think that if they really let their own inner critic say everything they want to say, it would never shut up. It would just go on and on, but it actually does shut up. It does get quiet. It just wants to be heard.
Uh-huh.
And some of it's really valuable and good ideas and super helpful. You just wouldn't want to get stuck there.
Right. I guess that, to me, would be, it's, you know, I can see how that might be therapeutic, but at the same time, I can imagine being very scared that all of the forward momentum would stop once you start to hear this super critical part of you come out.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. James. That's what happens. And so finally, you're always one step ahead, James Phelps. You then move yourself to your deepest, truest, you know, kind of Paul check, you know, just super, you know, positive mentor, self-mentor, Buddha, you know, Mother Teresa, whoever you imagine,
mm-hmm.
into a collective of loving, positive energy that you are. It's really your center, your innermost self. And that takes a variety of techniques to get back to that place. Totally natural, but there's techniques to get there. But after the judgment has been expressed, it's incredible how freeing that is also.
Mm-hmm.
It really changes everything. It's everything you said. It's really that intense. It really feels great. But you wouldn't want to get stuck there. precisely, mm-hmm. which is where most people get stuck for their lifetimes, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A large percentage of people, very large, and you can get very large by being very judgmental, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you finish up with all of that in the most relaxing of states, the most peaceful of states. You know, just, you know, if you could choose a place to be that would just do it to you, tropical, mountains, forests, rivers, friends, whatever the situation is, just whoever you want to be with, just the most peaceful of places, but you can capture that within yourself with your imagination fully.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of mindset, mind, body, heart, and soul kind of oneness. After going through all the judging, after going through that dialogue back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, when you finish up in that real kind of soulful place, that's mm-hmm. where your own answers come to you. They'll only come to you after doing that process and really giving yourself 100% focus, intention, drive to do that process. And then you'll see what you come up with when you free yourself up, undam the river, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I could.
And how important, you talked about this a couple of times too, I think, is it to have some kind of like a material or physical sort of manifestation of the processes that you're going through, like a journal or a, you know, painting or, you know, whatever it
right.
is that.
Right. Right. You mean what? Mean about why have people express it, release it that way?
Or how important is it just to have some sort of outlet like a journal or, you know, if you paint or, you know,
you
something like that?
You have to express it. You have to at
yes.
least talk in your own head. You have to at least talk it out loud. You have to at least have the ability to walk with it and move with it, get outside with it. I mean, you're really, when you're releasing something, like you're overthinking or you're releasing your self-judgment, if you're going to release, you have to really give it a physical move also. You've got, whether it's your breathing, at least something,
mm-hmm.
but really go for it 100%. So if you're releasing the self-judge, self-critic, and your eyes are closed, and you're taking some deep, satisfying, let-go breaths, and you always release on the exhales. That's when you let go. So if you ever need to simply let go, you put extra tension on the exhales.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, even pausing at the end of the exhale for a moment or two, just to listen to the silence, just have a moment of meditation. So you inhale, take your exhale all the way to completion, and then pause for a moment or two. Because when your breathing stops, your mind stops, and just do it for a moment or two, and that will really help you to let go. And when you're letting go of your self-judge, your critic, a lot of times I think of it as sitting in the 15th row of the theater. You want to focus on visualizing, just allowing yourself to express 15th row critic. If I'm judgmental towards myself, I'm standing up in the middle of the theater, I'm being really critical, I'm being just my parents being critical of me, I'm being a judge. And so whether you're whatever you're visualizing, you want to feel it, whatever you're feeling, you want to be able to write it. If you're going to journal, James, you want to journal with your non-dominant hand and with your eyes closed. Because when you journal with your non-dominant hand, you're more emotional. That's always better with this kind of releasing. And when you're letting go with your non-dominant hand, you're moving this critic to the non-dominant place instead of dominant. So there's a couple of very good reasons for that. So if you're going to journal, and that way nobody can ever read what you write either, so it stays totally confidential. You can write about anybody, even if they live in the house. Nobody could read it anyway. Your non-dominant hand is probably pretty goofy, and you can always just pull and doodle and let it go. But have some, as much, anything you can think of, your ideas are going to be better than mine. Any ideas you can think of that give you the chance to release while you are given that self-critical voice, or if you're, you know, just when you just have to release it somehow. I like non-dominant hand, eyes closed. I use it a lot in my seminars. I guess I'm probably known for that because I see how effective it is. And then when, by the way, when you get to that peaceful centered place that we talked about earlier, that kind of finishing place after you do all this, then you put your writing utensil in your dominant hand, because that's what you're wanting to make dominant. Keep your eyes closed. And just allow, all your best answers are going to be spontaneous. They're not going to be something you'd already thought of. It's going to be something that you enjoy, but it's just so very paradoxical to realize and appreciate that that kind of releasing of you being your own worst enemy, you being your own biggest critic, and really allowing it and actually encouraging it going the other way, how that kind of lowers the drawbridge and you really can connect with yourself. And once you connect with yourself, as they say, the rest is history. Those are the defining moments.
Yeah.
You don't forget those.
No, no. Well, that's a wonderful process. Especially that's interesting to me about the dominant versus non-dominant hands, mm-hmm. and when you involve them in the process. I'd never heard of that before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. The more involved, it's even like the rocks, throwing the rocks at the beach or the canvas, you know, the more involved people are in the process, the better, because they redefine the process. They create their own version of the process. And once somebody has a process, as you said it correctly, James, once they have their process, they pretty much go back to it every time. It's like a foul shot. Every time you get fouled, every time you get hurt, every time you hurt somebody, every time you there's a foul, a life foul, okay, you go to the line and you take a foul shot. It's always the same distance. Everything's the same about it every single time. And when it comes to dealing with ourselves, typically it's a foul shot.
Yeah.
How am I going to deal with it? I'm pissed. I'm frustrated. I'm sad. I'm lonely. They're sad. They're lonely. They're mad. They're frustrated. However it works, whatever the dynamics are, how you deal with it becomes your perspective, becomes your actions. And so it is about dealing with it emotionally. It's also about dealing with it thoughtfully, both, not either or. And then going through like that process that we just went through, and there you go. It's like, instant, you know, not instant, because it takes an hour or two or three, or once you get good at it, it takes minutes or two or three. But your process that you define for yourself becomes the best one that works, and then you use it over and over and over and over again. It's like your foul shot. You just, once it works and you're shooting 70, 80%, you just stay with that same process. But it's not my process. I just facilitate people finding their own, and it's amazing how smart people are about helping themselves once they stop fighting inside, you know, struggling with themselves for, like, control. Like, the mind doesn't trust the emotions, and the emotions don't trust the mind. Okay, well, let's just fight about this the rest of our lives. You know, and, of course, the body pays.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Right? The body pays, because that's where it all comes up. The body is the outside of the emotions. The emotions are the inside of the body. So if you think of how you feel and you're totally stuck in a feeling and you repress it and hold that feeling in, you're not going to express it like, let's say, mad or sad or afraid. Let's say afraid is the big one. Basically, you're going to have all kinds of physical manifestations.
Yeah.
And you're going to come up with stuff that no one's even seen before.
Yeah.
And they have no idea how to cure it or heal it, or it's the same thing over and over again. But clearly, if you're not going to express it emotionally, your body is happy to do the job.
Yeah.
And that becomes a signal. And if you listen to that signal, then you have a chance of really getting well again.
Yeah.
But the physical, the body part of the signal is from the mind not having anywhere to express what's going on, so it represses it. And, of course, the body is the receptacle for all the repressed feelings. And then next thing you know, you've got, you know, 28, you've got all kinds of signals that you're now treating the signals.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to come out somewhere. If it doesn't come out emotionally and doesn't get expressed emotionally in some way, in all these ways that are you're going to figure out, it's going to come out physically. The stress is the result of repressed feelings. And when you repress your feelings, they go into your body. So that means you're not expressing them, as we said, emotionally, so your body will. It's a very effective mind-body connection, and it's working. It's working really good. You just don't like how it's... Most of us don't like how it's working because dealing with the emotional part, too, is just... It's either too awkward or people haven't actually learned how. I was just going to ask you about that
awkwardness. I mean, it seems like one of the real key sort of watershed moments is getting to the point where you can give yourself permission to even engage in that initial, say, dialogue with that emotional part of yourself.
You know, what's interesting, James, what I find is as soon as people realize that there are how-tos that work, they want to do them right away.
Huh.
What people don't want to do is they don't want to do something, they don't want to experiment. They want to just know something's going to work. I even you, working with you and your energy, people pick up on your energy and they realize, oh, wow, well, this is the kind of person I want to be around. I can tell by James's energy. That's the result of you doing your work, practicing what you preach, and then being able to share what you do with other people.
Definitely. And for a number of our PPS practitioners, I'm thinking about this whole general process you've described, and it seems so wonderful to me and so broadly applicable, because I know, for example, a lot of our practitioners now are in at a point in their lives where they're either by choice moving away from their, for example, career that they've been doing for so long, or, you know, as I'm sure you well understand right now in the financial times, they're moving away from their current career not by choice that they've sort of have been, and so they're at a point in their lives where they're going in a different direction with their career, and this is a very frightening point. And I can see that this process in broad strokes would be a wonderful sort of tool for anybody in that position as well.
Right. No, it's true. The important thing is you have to be real with yourself. You have to know how to be real with yourself. And that is like what we were talking about earlier, James, about the bridge between really getting people comfortable talking, expressing with themselves, so that when they are with their partners or in their relationships with people in their lives, they're able to come from a more peaceful, more relaxed place. And it's just so challenging for people to learn, well, how do I actually do that? You know, if that's true, and, you know, in these tough economic times and in these challenges, I need to work with my thoughts and my feelings. Well, I've got a lot more important things to do than that. And, the mind goes right to what has to be done. If not, even if it's nothing but be anxious, at least you feel like you're working on it when you're anxious. But what's happening for most of us is that we're pretty stressed out with what's going on financially. I don't know anyone that hasn't been affected by the realities of the economy. You just go out and you see it's just quieter everywhere.
Yeah,
almost like America's come together. Even though some people can afford to to go out or spend their money. They're not, because it's such a struggle with all the layoffs, you know, 18,000 layoffs. I mean, we're getting used to large numbers of layoffs.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign when we hear, oh, only 12,000 got laid off, or only 700. You know, oh, they only lost 20 million?
Yeah.
Well, it's 20 million. You know, wasn't even in the billions. And so we're in like this war zone of what's happening financially, and none of us have ever been in anything like this before, so it almost seems unreal at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's like after an earthquake. It's like you just can't believe it, and then it's true. So it's one of those times where a lot of people don't like that I say this, but don't take me literally, but this is one of those impossible situations.
Mm.
Not impossible, like there aren't, you know, ways to deal with it effectively and get your perspective. Of course, that's my whole life energy is about understanding that more and more. But in dealing with these kinds of challenges that we're all going through, it's like if you've ever, and I'm fortunate I've been through this, lost a sister to cancer, impossible situation. Had a mother with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, very young. Impossible. I had no skills to deal with that stuff. It's nothing to do with any profession or what you've learned. These are impossible. I've worked with people from the wars, all the wars. They're in impossible situations. Grew up in war and all of that. This financial thing is an impossible situation. It's like, when is it going to stop? When does it get better? Is this reality? And what's going to be? People are holding back. And so we're all in this sort of, disappointment or lack of trust. I mean, how could these companies that were making billions a year ago be going bankrupt, you know, months later? How does this kind of BS happen? So the self-care, the transformation, the how do I get to survive during this, you know, impossible time. Okay. Well, first thing first, the more difficult the times, the better you have to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Because when things are falling apart around you, this is the time to dig in deeper and figure out how you can be the most resilient. If only 80% of the people make it, you're part of the 80%. You have to do everything you can do. Pull out all the stops. Your back's against the wall. And you have to really be total now and more wholehearted about what you want and the different things you need to do. And how do you get to that place, and how do you maintain that, and how do you keep it on a daily basis so it becomes your blood supply, because you're going to need it as much as ever. It's the kind of things that, again, we go back to kind of the fundamentals, and hopefully they are fun. And it really is about, okay, first things first, I am afraid. That's the mood, that's the feeling, that's the state, that's the committee member, that's where you're stuck, that's where we're stuck as a nation, that's where we're stuck as a global, quote, economy. So the first thing is, people have to be very total, very open about everything they're feeling related to this. And this is your journal question, James. Mm-hmm. This is your non-dominant hand, eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the let go. This is the throwing the rocks at the beach. This is the dancing. This is the rolling around, you know, creating the space and whatever works for you, breathing it through it at least. To give yourself permission to really release all that. So in other words, if you're going to get to a place where you're total in your everyday life, you have to be total and real about what's going on emotionally. And that's the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three steps. And after you do that, and remember, journal, non-dominant, hand, eyes closed, great way to go. And then, as we were saying before, everybody has an ego. Everybody thinks it shouldn't be happening to, you know, however, wherever, ego, who knows, full of opinions, full of self-absorption, critical, skeptical, negative. It's just a trained part of competing, and it's not all bad. There's plenty that's good about it, but it's sort of that focus on what's wrong with this situation. So, anyways, you with me?
Yeah, I'm following you.
Okay, so, all right, so then after that, after really getting to that judge, that critic space, mindset, this is definitely your intellect, James. This is your science, family trained, you know, this is your brainiac, you know, who can rationally figure out anything, you know, get stuck too, right? Okay, so after you get all that out, now what do you do? Because where I want to take you now is to that sweet spot, emotional, relaxed, healthy, happy James Phelps, love space, friend. I mean, this is where you go to after expressing all that, is you go to the James Phelps place. You go to your personal place of power, and you don't even have to tell me what it is, and you certainly, you know, I'd be happy to hear if you do, but that's basically your third step. Now, this has to be done daily, I don't know, hourly, I don't know, every 5 days, I don't know. That part, the figuring out the details part, is obvious. You'll do it because it works, and you'll keep doing it because it works, but the frequency is up to you. You know, the idea really is to learn how to do it in the 5 or 10 seconds, so it becomes automatic, sort of like, you know, tennis stroke or riding a bicycle. You do it over and over again until you don't even think about it.
No, and I definitely have something like that, although it's not usually not repeatable in that sort of quick fashion, but
and you don't have to share it either, because it's your own private space.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, it's your own it's your own special spot. You know. But I think everyone has that. Everyone has literally a place, I don't know, a fantasy place, I don't know, fantastic, but it's, and it doesn't even have to be a place. It can just be a quiet hum at the end of your breath. It can be a feeling in your gut, you know what I mean? It can be a song. There's a lot of ways of getting to that relaxed place. The thing that people don't realize is all you have to do is get there for about a second or two or three. You don't have to get there and stay there for hours. Nobody does.
Right.
Nobody does. So if you can keep getting yourself back to that relaxed, comfy place that you just sit okay, even at the end of the breath, you found something. You found something. You found something at that point when you can get to a place where you can relax. And you know what's a fun way to relax really quick?
What's that?
Is to inhale, and on the exhale, hum. Hum till you don't have any hum left in your breath. Kind of a hmm. And do that all the way to the end of your exhale, just a nice, nice hum. And try it, James. It's kind of fun. Just kind of.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, it's very interesting that you bring that up, because I find that during my sort of regular work, I almost reflexively, especially since I work out of my own home and there's nobody else around, I find that I reflexively hum to myself as I'm working, and I notice that effect.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So you're, it's just so easy and so natural, and it's just nice to know that you can just, if you do that kind of hum for, you know, 5 or 10 breaths, it's amazing how quiet you can get your mind. It's like a holy moly, how do you know my mind can get this quiet? And it's just something about finding your own vibration, your own sound. You can feel it in your chest, you feel the, you know, the sensations in your body when you hum, and it goes right up into your brain, right up into your mind, and you have an instant kind of meditation state after about 10 of those. Now, when I went to India and taught there a couple times, people do OMs, A-U-M, OMs, and they do those for hours all together. Very intense. I did it. And OMs go, makes you go inside. It's an introspective meditation. So you keep going inside the more you do the OMs. Where when you hum, like we were doing before, you have an instant meditation. So you don't go inside, you just have a good feeling. You know, it's not an introspective thing, it's just a quieting of your mind. So I encourage anybody that's listening, at the end of the show, if you're not doing it right now, after you listen to this, just go outside, go somewhere quiet, anywhere you can, and just hum at a nice pitch, nice sound, all the way to the end of your exhale, about 10 times. And then you can write to James and tell him how quiet your mind got. Probably the quietest it's been in a long time. And just as a tip there, if your mind really goes strong, maybe do it 20 or 30 times.
Okay. Well, that's a wonderful technique and one that I hadn't heard before. I know that we quite frequently have people asking Paul during our weekly coaching calls about simple techniques to relax the mind, to calm the mind. That's a wonderfully simple technique, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Techniques are simple. Think about your favorite sense. You know, are you a visual person, kinesthetic, auditory? What's your preference? If it's all three, fine. If it's two of the three, or maybe it's just a sense of something.
I have visual, but I also have very, I guess it's touch, but taste is very visceral and very powerful for me.
So if you, I don't know where you are right now, but if you, anyone that's visual and any of your other senses, you can follow along and fill in where it fits, but be your eyes. Just look around, notice things you didn't notice 10 seconds ago, details, you know, move your head around however you want. Just be your eyes. Just keep looking around, up, down, sideways, close, far away. And if you stay with that for about 10 seconds, 15 seconds, however long that was, and, you know, you can go even longer, obviously. When you just become that one sense, that's your strong sense, your visual, and you just become your eyes. Just become your eyes. I'm my eyes. Travel around the room, look around, be your eyes. And when you do that, your mind does quiet down. And it's like an automatic trip to the present tense. It just gets you totally present. And when you're totally present, chances are your mind is going to be quieter, because a lot of times chatter is the past and future stuff.
That's really fascinating too. It's putting all of your focus. It seems so in some ways so very simple. If you put all your focus in your sense, then of course the chatter calms down.
It does automatically. Yeah, there are hundreds of techniques. Hundreds. It's my favorite thing in the world are the how-tos. I love how-tos. Everybody knows what they should do, but they can't make themselves do it, you know, and they want to get from A to B. And what I love are the how-tos. How do you get from where you are to where you want to be? And as we said at the beginning, a lot of times what it takes to get you to where you want to get to, kind of letting go of the past, really being present, really being healthy, the same strategies and techniques are good for present future. So, you know, it's a relief that you don't have to go, you know, learn a whole other game.
Oh, sure. Those have all been just really, as I said, very simple and startlingly so almost. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, and they'll keep working, and then they'll get easier and easier. They'll get more and more effective. They don't ever wear out because they become yours.
Yeah.
You know.
Wonderful. So will these be similar sorts of techniques that you'll be teaching at your Change Your Mind and Change Your Life seminar?
Yes. I got together the all-star cast, the people that I would want to go see at a seminar, having taught a lot of
seminars on entrepreneurship and leadership and self-development, you know, from Paul Check to Harv Eker to a lot of the leading companies, and now I'm doing my own at La Costa. So I invited my favorite practitioners, and it's going to be a blast. It's a Friday night to Sunday. It's almost sold out right now, 250 people. So that's small. Last seminar I did was 1,200.
Wow.
It's very intimate with 250 people.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some room left if people are interested. Friday night we're going to have a drum circle at the beach. There'll be a couple of hundred people, run by a woman who just got back from Iraq, doing a multi-ethnic drum circle for women over there of all religious backgrounds.
Wow.
Huge hit, huge success. And so she's doing the drum circle Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we have dancers and musicians. We have a Las Vegas show, one of the world's most famous hypnotists coming to do a show for us on Saturday night. And we have a fire walker on Sunday. Great, one of the leading people in that field.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the most fun and most capable kind of thought leaders in their field. Ariel Ford, Deepak Chopra's public relations person, and Chicken Soup of the Soul, Jack Canfield, she's mm-hmm. presenting. There's a great, great list of people. There's about seven more. And myself, I'll be teaching there as well. So that's Friday. It's the first weekend of April.
Right.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And you have more information on your True Sage website about this?
Yes. And that is TRUSAGE. TRUSAGE.com. And, yep. So take a look. And anybody that wants to go from you know, the Czech Institute, just go ahead and send me an email when you go to truesage.com, and I'll make sure that you get in for half off.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I think it's $4.95 right
mm-hmm.
now, you know, and so if you're interested, you can have half off anyway. Just so email me when you go to the website.
Wow. Okay. Well, I might have to make a trip down myself for that.
You'll love it. Oh, my God. It's an all-star cast, and the people that come, I've met probably almost everybody that's coming. They're coming from all over the world. Wonderful group of people. Great people to network with forever.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of follow-up from the seminar as well, that I'm a big believer in follow-up. So it's not a seminar, and then it's over. It's a seminar,
right.
And there's follow-up with it. And yeah, so the people are wonderful. I mean, it's a great cast of presenters and participants. And there's a lot of interaction, so everybody does meet everybody.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be a memory maker for sure.
Well, that's just wonderful. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Dr. Ullman. This has been really just eye-opening. I love the how-tos myself.
Thank you.
It's fantastic, and I know that our listeners are really going to benefit from all of the, you know, this call is just jam-packed with them, so, you know, I'm very excited. And I, you know, all of our listeners and anybody who listens to the recording of this, I want to encourage everybody to visit TrueSage, TRUSAGE.com, and to learn more about Brian and to learn more about the Change Your Mind, Change Your Life seminar, because it just sounds fantastic.
Thank you, James.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And
lots of love.
Yes,
okay.
And lots of love to you, too. And I can't wait for our next little chat like this. It's going to be fantastic, I'm sure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, Dave.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.